Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Paul Willistein. I'm features editor of the Lehigh Valley Press, where I do a movie review every week. And today we're talking about the 10th annual Southside Film Festival. We're here with three of the officials of the Southside Film Festival, which starts June 11th, correct?
Correct.
And it goes through June 15th. So first of all, I'd like the gentlemen here to introduce themselves, and we'll start first with Jeff.
I am Jeff Oslavik, board president.
Hi, I'm Glenn Kaler, the Southside Film Festival director.
And I'm Ben Bertallon. I'm kind of the film wrangler at the Southside Film Festival.
Now, you've probably seen the Southside Film Festival poster this year, which has a big X on it, as in X marks the spot on the Southside and not the MPAA rating X for the films they'll be showing. First of all, we're going to talk a little bit about Glenn, because he's the new director of the Southside Film Festival. Glenn Kohler, tell us how you got involved with the festival, please.
I started with the festival doing kind of public relations things. And from there, they asked me to be on the jury to review the films. Then from there, they asked me to be on the board of directors. And last year, they asked me to take over directing it. So here I am.
Welcome aboard. And Jeff, let's talk about the Southside Film Festival overall, because not only are there films, and let us know how many there are, but there are also special events. And I believe these start next Monday with a fundraiser at Molinari's for the Southside Film Festival.
That's correct. I think we still have a few tickets left at Molinari's. You can go to their website or a link from the SSFF.org website. There are going to be five local chefs, each doing a separate course at Molinari's. It's $100 per ticket. Half the proceeds go to the restaurants, half goes to the film festival, and we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be some great food and great wine, and a nice way to kick off the festival. We're hoping it becomes an annual event.
And Molinari's, by the way, just celebrated its first anniversary. They're on the south side. I believe they're at 4th and Taylor, I believe, is it?
Yes. Yep, and, right on the corner.
And it's a really beautiful Italian restaurant. If you haven't been there, you really should check it out. So that's the first event, next Monday night. That's June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And what time is that at Molinari's, please?
It is that's 6 event. or 6.30.
I believe it's 6.30. Yeah.
Okay, at Molinari's for a fundraiser for the Southside Film Festival. And then the film festival itself opens June 11th. And let's talk a little bit about opening night, Jeff.
Okay. Opening night, we kick off with our traditional party. We're down at Comfort Suites this year. And from there, we're going to be marching up to Rockwell Middle School. And we're going to show two short animated films that are highlighting our children's film festival that we've brought back for this year. And then our feature that night is going to be a film that that Ben was able to wrangle for us called Good Old Frida. And it's a really great film about Frida Kelly, who was the Beatles fan club for 11 years. And it's a great documentary, lots of great music in it, lots of great footage of the Beatles. So we're really looking forward to it. And one of the producers, Kathy McCabe, is going to be here for the whole week for the festival. So she'll be here for Q&A sessions and hoping to get some folks to meet her and get to know her a little bit.
Ben, let's jump in here and
sure.
tell the audience, the listeners, how the Southside Film Festival landed such a prestigious film as Good Old Frida.
Wow. Well, I was actually contacting the filmmaker. I'd seen it listed it was being premiered at the South by Southwest in March. And I contacted the filmmakers to see about possibly screening here at Southside. And they weren't sure about what their layout would be for the next couple months. And she said, when's the latest we could let you know? I said, probably about the end of April. And she contacted me maybe mid-April and said, are you still interested in our film? I said, yes. So she sent us a screener to preview it. And we all agreed. We thought it should be an opening night film.
Now, Good Old Frida, again, it's about the secretary who basically answered the mail, who cut locks of the Beatles, famous mop tops and everything else. Now, this film, you said, was at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Is this the Lehigh Valley premiere and maybe even the Pennsylvania premiere?
It's not the Pennsylvania premiere. It did premiere at a Philadelphia Film Festival, but it is the Lehigh Valley premiere of the film.
And then you said again that one of the producers or the producer of Good Old Frida will be here?
Yes, she will be. It is
Kathy McCabe.
Yes.
Okay,
McCabe
and the screenings will be, again, Tuesday the 11th, and I believe there's another screen.
Yes, it's Friday evening, and I'm trying to remember the time. We can look it up for you. I think it's 7:15.
That would be June 14. Now, for folks who want to find out more about the Southside Film Festival, for all the schedule, and how many films are there again?
We have 57 films for the regular portion of the festival, and I believe we have another 53 films for the Children's Festival as well. So we're at 110 films for the festival this year in total.
And people who want to find out those schedules, they have a very good website, the Southside Film Festival. I believe it's
SSFF.org.
.org, right. Correct. And the listings on there, I've checked it out. They're very clear, very concise. There's good synopses. There's a separate schedule, and then also with each film, it tells you when the film is showing and where. And let's mention that, by the way. Perhaps, Glenn, you can jump in here and talk about the venues where the Southside Film Festival screenings will be held.
Sure. Some of the films will be shown at Brockle Middle School. Some of them will be shown at Sinclair Auditorium at Lehigh University. Some will be at Victory Firehouse down on the south side. And the children's films will be shown at Godfrey Daniels.
And these are all within close proximity. For example, Brockle is just like about a block up from 4th and Broadhead, I believe.
Correct.
And then the Victory Firehouse is, I believe that's Columbia Street where it's located. It's right on the south side, really adjacent to the ArtsQuest campus. It's right near Orishur and all the high-tech buildings.
Correct.
That are right on.
Correct.
The south side. And then there's also the
Sinclair
that's
Lehigh.
On the Lehigh University campus itself.
Yep.
I believe that's
a very walkable festival.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. And by design, it's a walkable festival. You can walk among the venues, and when you're going from venue to venue, we encourage people to stop in at all the businesses on the south side who have supported us for 10 years, basically, and continue to support us in a great way. So we always encourage, whether you're just visiting in town or if you're a resident, stop in and support those businesses and who have supported us over all these years.
And the Southside Film Festival is celebrating its 10th anniversary. And Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but generally in the past, there was a genre, I believe, focus and then a theme, or correct me as to the proper terms.
Yeah, we had a genre highlight and a cultural highlight where we would focus on certain areas of the world. And this year, with it being the anniversary, we didn't want to kind of limit ourselves to that. And also, there's been a lot of confusion over the years in people thinking that they were the only types of films we were showing that year, only films from those countries or of that genre. And that really is not the case. I think the genre and the cultural focus made up maybe 25-30%. In any given year. So we, every year we have films from around the world. As a matter of fact, by the time we're done this festival, we will have, over the course of 10 years, have screened 892 films from 42 states and 83 countries. So we're very excited by that. So we really are, we like to say that we're a small town festival with an international feel, and we really are that. We have people coming literally from all over the world. Once again, we have some people coming in from Amsterdam this year. Mm-hmm. The director and the subject of a great musical film called Mama Don't Like No Guitar Pickers Around Here, which is a kind of a slice of life documentary about a guitar store in Amsterdam, which is right next to a bar.
We'll pick up on that when we come back. My name is Paul Willestein. I'm here hosting Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we're talking with the officials and the leaders of the 10th Annual Southside Film Festival.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Arts Academy Charter School, serving students in grades 5 through 8, a tuition-free, arts-enriched public school. Academic curriculum is enriched by classes in dance, figure skating, theater, music, and visual arts. Students have artistic as well as academic instruction each school day. For more information, arts-cs.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Paul Willestein, and I'm focus editor of the Lehigh Valley Press newspapers, where you might see my little photo in there and a movie review each week. But today we're talking about the 10th Annual Southside Film Festival. We'd like to introduce our guests again. First, we have Jeff.
Jeff Oslavik.
Glenn Kaler.
And Ben Bertallon.
Before the break, we were talking about one of the music themed films, and I'd like to pick up on that again. We have three music themed, that is, feature length music themed films at the Southside Film Festival this year, and they are, again, let's start with Ben over here.
Well, we have the Good Old Frida, which is the opening night film. And then we also have Mama Don't Like No.
Mama Don't Like No Guitar Pickers around here.
That's quite a mouthful.
And it's that's it's, a sing
it's,
the song.
It's the old John Cale song.
Right. And then we also have the Greenwich Village documentary, which I actually saw at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. And I was in contact with the filmmakers about having it come here. And our entire jury enjoyed it. And
now, I understand with the Guitar Pickers film that the filmmakers or some of them will be flying over for the festival, and we can talk about that a little bit.
Who the director will be here for the entire week, Jacqueline Van Voot, and also Peter, who owns the guitar store, The Plug, is coming over, and we're excited to meet him. As I mentioned right before the break, the guitar store is right next to a bar, and these guys play guitar and drink beer all day, so they're going to be right at home here on the South Side. We're looking forward to meeting them.
It sounds just like Godfrey Daniels in
absolutely,
the Funhouse.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
And where is the guitar store located? Where does this film take place, please?
It takes place in Amsterdam, right on the canal. And a gentleman named Oscar Van Loveren from Center Valley, he's a commercial pilot, and he stays at a hotel when he's in Amsterdam right across the street from, right across the canal from this store, and he got to be friends with them, attracted by the guitars and the beer, and he found out they had a film about it and brought it to us, and it's fantastic. So Oscar will be here all week. The folks are going to come over and spend some time with him, and we're really looking forward to it.
And again, if you want to check the screening times for the Guitar Pickers documentary and all the screening times, go to Southside Film Festival, that's SSFF.org, and they're all listed there, and it's very convenient. You can make printouts, and you can check on all the different times for the film festival. It's the 10th annual Southside Film Festival here on the Southside Bethlehem, and it's June 11th through 15th. Now, Ben, you mentioned another film, a documentary about Greenwich Village. What's that all about? Because yes. I know the Coen brothers, I believe, made a big splash at Cannes this year with their fictional version of sort of a Dave Van Ronk type character, and that's set in Greenwich Village. But this is a documentary about the scene?
It is a documentary, Greenwich Village. I forgot the subtitle of that one.
The music that defined a generation.
Yes.
And so this is about the 1960s, basically?
It is. It's a lot of filmmakers from that time period. The thing I really enjoyed about that film was they focused on film songwriters that don't get as much, I think, press as some others, like Dave Van Ronk and Fred Neil. Kind of that get glossed over, and the director has a lot of unique footage from that time and a lot of interesting interviews.
Right. Now, will anybody be here from that film associated with that film?
Unfortunately, no. We weren't able to get anyone from that film, but
right. We're working on Pete Seeger, but we're not sure how that's going to go.
Right.
It's interesting because it really ties in with a lot of the listeners of this station who are members of Godfrey Daniels. It really ties in there because there's a bunch of people in this film who have performed at Godfrey's. Tom Paxton is one of them. And it also ties into one of our brand new sponsors, coincidentally, for this year. Martin Guitar is one of our sponsors. And they're very excited about this film because, you know, there's not a shot in a thing that doesn't have a Martin in it.
And I understand from, I believe, what Glenn was telling me, that there's going to be a special visit by the Guitar Pickers filmmakers, the guys coming over from Great Britain, then they'll be visiting Martin Guitar, right, Glenn?
Indeed. We're taking those guys from the Mama Don't Like No Guitar Pickers Around Here film, as well as all the other filmmakers, you know, anybody, any of the actors that are coming who are interested. We're going to be doing a tour of Martin Guitar during
wonderful.
The festival. So
that's wonderful. Now, Martin Guitar is one of the sponsors. Do you want to name some of the other sponsors for the Southside Film Festival?
Sure. One interesting sponsor that we have this year is the Lehigh Valley Health Network, and they are sponsoring Tales from the Organ Trade, which is a movie about illicit organ trading across the world. And we are lucky to have one of their physicians who's going to be coming out and doing a talk back after the film about, you know, legitimate transplants at Lehigh Valley Hospital, of course, and, you know, the ethics of, you know, how this happens around the world.
Right, the ethics. Now, we have to be clear here now. These are the good guys from Lehigh Valley.
Certainly.
Lehigh Valley Hospital Health Network, and they are doing the legitimate transplants, but the documentary is about the organ trade around
Correct.
The world.
Correct,
exactly. And, right. and it's U.S. premiere.
Yes.
We're very excited. It's a HBO Films documentary. Sorry to cut you off there.
Uh-huh.
But we're very excited. We're getting it first before HBO screens it, which is pretty exciting.
Very cool.
Now, if people want to come to the film festival, do they have several ways to buy a group of tickets or a pass, or can they buy individual tickets, or how does that happen? Can they just show up at the venue and maybe tickets will be available? Why don't you take that one, Glenn? Or either way. Okay.
The people can show up to the venues and buy tickets for any of the films. They're $5 for one screening. They can also go to Deja Brew or Cleo's on the south side and pick up tickets. We are also selling all-access passes that gets you into the opening night film, the late night films, the opening night party, the closing night party, and anything that we have going on during the festival for $65. And those can be bought at Cleo's, at Deja Brew, at the venues, or those can actually be purchased online as well.
And that's Glenn Kohler. He's the new director of the Southside Film Festival. It's his first year this year as director. And you mentioned the overall ticket of $65. Now think about it. Let's do the math here. How many films? Approximately, like
there's
maybe 50
yeah,
or 100?
Yeah, there's 57 films right? this year, yes.
Now, you guys know out there that if you go to the multiplex nowadays, or even an independent theater, you're going to pay $9.50, $8, you're going to pay $10, depending on what time you go. And if you're going for, right, Ben, if you're going for 3D IMAX on a given night, you might be paying like $18, $17.50
certainly.
To see that.
My son and wife and I went to see Star Trek and spent $16.50 apiece for Star Trek and 3D IMAX.
So this has to be the bargain of Absolutely. The Lehigh Valley and perhaps even the United States, $65 for an all festival
that,
film
that is
pass
correct. We are the best bargain in the United
for
States.
Filmgoers. That's really amazing.
That's correct.
And also, there's parties. I heard Glenn mention parties. So let's talk a little bit about that. Opening night, I'm going to jump over to Jeff here. Jeff's the director of the board of the Southside Film Institute,
correct.
Which
correct.
Sponsors other events. I've seen Jeff at certain events. For example, there was a film shown probably months ago now. I believe it was called Hey Governor Cuomo,
correct.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sponsored by the Southside Film Institute and the Film Festival. Jeff introduced that film that was shown at the Victory Firehouse, which is a great venue for films, by the way. But let's talk about opening night and what other events other than films are happening.
Well, I want to mention real quickly, now that you mentioned the film that we did at Victory, we are also co-sponsoring, along with the Sierra Club and several other environmental groups, right after our festival on Monday the 17th, we're co-sponsoring a screening of Gasland 2 at Brockle Middle School. And we're co-sponsoring with also with Shangri-La, who does our audio and video equipment. We're leaving our setup there and showing the film on that Monday. And it's free admission. Josh Fox will be in attendance to do a Q&A, so we're pretty excited about it. I'm not sure if that's the PA premiere. I know it premiered up in New York, and he's been touring it around, but he's on tour with the film, so we're looking forward to that.
And for those who might not know, Josh Fox is the director of Gasland, which really was ahead of the curve regarding the whole fracking, as it's called, the extraction of gas in basically Pennsylvania and other, well, nationwide, with the exception of New York State, hence the reference to the Governor Cuomo film where they're still studying that process. We're here talking today on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon about the 10th Annual Southside Film Festival. And you'll see their posters all around. That's the one with the big X, as in Roman numeral 10. And we'd like to conclude with a couple remarks. Maybe we'll start with Ben, and then we'll go to Glenn, then we'll go to Jeff, as to what film do you recommend from the Southside Film Festival for people to see. Ben?
Wow, well, two of my favorites are one, Zero Charisma, which played at South by Southwest. It won the Audience Award down there. And Live in Ingmar, which is an Ingmar Bergman documentary.
Wow. Now, what's Zero Charisma about?
It's kind of a guy who's into like Dungeons and Dragons types game, and he's in his 30s, and he's still playing them, and he kind of finds this nemesis who also enjoys the game, and it kind of goes from there. It's really funny.
Great. Glenn?
My favorite movie, I think, that we're showing this year is More Than Honey, which is a documentary about bees and the bee collapse that you hear so much about in the news these days. And it features footage from all over the world, from China to California to the Swiss Alps. And it's some of the most beautifully shot footage that I think we're showing this year. You know, if you're interested in the environment at all, or it just sounds interesting to you, I think you should come out and see it just because it is so beautiful.
Jeff?
I'll pick two. One is screening at the Children's Festival, and it's a film called Metro, and there's no dialogue. It's an absolutely beautiful film. it's a shame if only kids get to see this film, because it's fantastic. The other is a documentary called Dear Mr. Watterson, and it's about Bill Watterson, who created Calvin and Hobbes, and it kind of covers the history of the strip and the influence that it's had over the years, and anybody who grew up on Calvin and Hobbes or still loves Calvin and Hobbes will really enjoy this film. It's very, very well done.
And that one is part of the Children's Festival as
That's part of the grown-up festival. Not to be confused with the adult festival that some people are confusing the acts with, but different festival.
Right, and this is the Southside Film Festival, which takes place June 11th through the 15th at various venues, including Brockle Middle School, Victory Firehouse, Godfrey Daniels, and the Sinclair Auditorium at Lehigh University. My name is Paul Willistein. I'd like to thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, and I'd like to thank the guys from the Southside Film Festival, and I think you can hear from the variety of films being presented. It's a festival not to be missed. Thank you for listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.
I'm Maria Filosa from WDIY, and you're listening to Tasty Seasonal Recipes for the Everyday Chef. If you've ever walked into a cafe or coffee shop, you've more than likely noticed a glass jar sitting on the counter filled with hard, log-shaped, or diagonally cut cookies. Some might have almonds or dried fruit. Some might be covered in chocolate and dipped in nuts. Still others might have a sugar icing with multicolored sprinkles. What they all have in common is that they are known as biscotti, and they are delicious. Most Italians, including myself and my family, pronounce them biscotta. In Italy, they are enjoyed as a light after-dinner dessert with a fortified wine or espresso, and dunking is absolutely proper etiquette. I can remember my father dipping his biscotta into a tiny cup of espresso that he would enjoy after Sunday dinners at my grandparents' home. To buy them at a store would cost you anywhere from $1 to $4 each, but there's no need for that when the recipe is so simple to make in your own kitchen. The original recipe came from the Italian city of Prato back in the 18th century and was one born of necessity for long journeys and at wartime. The dough consisted only of flour, sugar, eggs, pine nuts, and almonds. This twice-baked biscuit became extremely hard and durable, almost non-perishable, so it could be stored in pockets and packs without turning into dust during extended trips. The biscuit provided both carbohydrates and protein for energy during lean times. In Tuscany, the biscotta is also known as cantuccini, although this term more often refers to the variations or deviations from the original recipe. Most of today's recipes contain the same ingredients as the traditional recipe, with the addition of either butter or oil and baking powder to make a more tender biscuit. Many bakers have changed or added so many ingredients that they don't even resemble the original recipe, but they are accepted and enjoyed all the same. Some interesting variations include chocolate, peanut butter, raisins, lemon, orange, cinnamon, dried cherries, currants, and espresso powder. They can also be made more savory by adding herbs and spices, such as rosemary, oregano, dill, basil, paprika, or even chili powder. The sky is the limit. My family recipe is as follows. 2 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1 half teaspoon of salt, 1 half cup of sugar, 3 eggs, 1 teaspoon of anise extract, and 1 stick of butter or a half a cup of oil. Mix the dry ingredients together, then the wet ingredients, then combine them all together to form a heavy sticky dough. Chill the dough for about an hour to make it easier to handle. Place parchment paper on a large cookie sheet. Divide the chilled dough and make 2 long logs, 3 inches wide and about a half an inch thick. You may need to flour your hands to help keep them from sticking to the dough as you form the logs. Bake in a 375-degree oven for 20 minutes, then remove the pan and let cool for 5 minutes before cutting. Don't turn the oven off yet. Using a sharp knife or pizza cutter, slice the logs on the diagonal into 1-inch wide slices. Place each slice, cut side up, on the pan and place them back into the oven for about 8 minutes. Flip each slice over and bake another 8 minutes or until slightly golden brown. Let the biscotta cool before glazing them with powdered sugar mixed with milk or dipping them in melted chocolate. If you decide you want to get fancy with them, add any of the variations mentioned earlier during the mixing process. You may need to adjust the amount of flour needed if your added ingredients are very wet, such as melted chocolate or peanut butter. However you decide to make them, this is one of those go-to recipes when you need to bring a dessert to a gathering. And don't stop there. Make several different batches and place them into a gift basket. I guarantee they will be a hit. I'm Maria Filosa. Thanks for listening to Tasty Seasonal Recipes for the Everyday Chef. Have a bountiful day.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The animated family feature movie Epic is beautiful, especially in the 3D format in which it was seen for this review. However, Epic lacks a cohesive storyline, the clever dialogue we've grown accustomed to in animated features, and memorable animated characters. That's not good. The art form is, after all about character animation. Moreover, the concept for Epic is ill-conceived. Much of the action in Epic takes place in a dark forest. Other scenes are in caves and the interior of a castle. The good guys, the leaf men, are naturally enough attired in leafy green. The bad guys, named the Boggins, are in shades of gray. The 3D process tends to darken scenes. Why do filmmakers insist on making choices that do not best serve the medium and the moviegoer? Epic provides fascinating glimpses into the world of the, quote, little people or sprites, fairies, and tiny mythical animals of legend and imagination, mixed with actual denizens of the forest such as birds, toads, slugs, and the like. I wanted to like Epic more than I did. That's because the lead character, the protagonist, Mary Catherine, nicknamed MK, is voiced by Allentown native Amanda Seyfried, fresh off her red carpet walk and onstage performance for Les Miserables during this year's Oscar telecast. Seyfried is in fine voice, however, the character she voices resembles Taylor Swift, with a slimmer face than that of Seyfried. Voted as having one of the most beautiful famous faces for 6 consecutive years on the list of the annual independent critics list of the 100 most beautiful faces from around the world. The other lead characters in Epic are as generic as the film's title. Colin Farrell as Ronan, the romantic interest opposite MK, looks like your standard issue Disney prince. Beyoncé Knowles, who plays Queen Tara, is given a non-African-American visage. Several characters have the potential in Epic for development, including Mub, the slug, voiced by Aziz Ansari, and Bufo, voiced by Pitbull. The voice of Christopher Waltz as Mandrake, leader of the Boggins, who are out to destroy the forest, is the most compelling. The voice talent in Epic includes Jason Sudeikis as Bamba, MK's father, and Steven Tyler as Nimgaloo, a caterpillar character similar to that in Alice in Wonderland. Few of the characters in Epic are given enough screen time for development. The plot, such as it is about protecting the forest, is convoluted at best, incomprehensible at worst. Epic may be enjoyed by children, however, I was fixated not on the green on the 3D screen, but rather the green on the exit sign. The only thing epic about Epic is the screenplay, the number of writers who worked on it, 5. Director Chris Wedge is director of Epic. He also directed Robots and Ice Age. The screenplay for Epic is based on the book The Leaf Men, written by William Joyce. Since William Joyce is a writer, executive producer, and production designer on Epic, it's not as if someone hijacked the material. Epic is the film the filmmakers wanted to make, and that is what especially makes Epic an epic disappointment. Epic is MPAA rated PG for mild action, some scary images, and brief, rude language. Opening June 7 are The Internship, Google Me This plot. 2 salesmen get an internship at Google. Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, Rose Byrne, and John Goodman star in the comedy. The Purge. Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey star in the sci-fi thriller about a family held hostage. Much Ado About Nothing. Director Josh Whedon sets Shakespeare's classic comedy in a modern setting. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.